Shut up and sit down.
Hello, and welcome to episode 89 of Geek Grills, a podcast in which geeky women and sometimes guests gather to record topical conversation and then offer it to the masses. The Geek Grills podcast is supported solely by our patrons, and you can become a patron today at patreon.com/grills. I am the Jen, and I am joined by my co-host September, aka 9 of 12.
Hello.
And Linda.
Hi there.
And today we also have a special guest, Super.
Hello.
He is a... we brought Super on today because we're going to be talking about Avengers Infinity War. We're going to do a nice spoiler episode. And out of all the Marvel fans I know, he's one of the biggest Marvel fans that I know. So it seemed appropriate to have him on. So for now, no spoilers. But a little bit later into things, we are definitely going to be spoiling the movie. So if you have not seen it, I definitely recommend that you tune out when we get to that point. So anyway, in the meantime, what have you all crazy kids been up to? Linda, what's going on?
First is the plushie update.
He's so fluffy, I'm gonna die!
This first one is for you, Jen, because yes, you asked me to see if I could make it. This is the Willendorf Venus.
I can't believe
it. That's amazing.
I did indeed. I love how she has a little butt cleft.
Was that a part of the pattern already? I really hope that it was.
I think it was, because as I was crocheting along, I'm like, she's getting a little cleft there in the backside. Okay.
And the boobs are swirly.
The boobs are swirly.
It's actually a really well done pattern, too. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that pattern, I recommend that pattern if you want to go, like, check out the pattern. It's somewhere on the internet. If you need your own. I mean, I will make it for you if you wish, but if you want to make your own, the pattern's pretty good. The other thing is I took my pattern that I did for T'Challa, and I made it with blanket yarn. So I now have a giant T'Challa.
Oh, my gosh.
A big old kid.
He's huge.
That looks very cuddly.
It's very soft. Very squishy. So I'll be taking him and his two brethren with me to MomoCon. So that's the soft stuff I've been working on this week. Then I also got a new phone. I hopped up from the iPhone 5 to the 8. So it's
crazy iPhone people.
Been a while. But they're doing a thing now with the 8 and maybe the 7. Maybe the 10. I don't know. But you can buy a red one. You can't really see it because I've got my protector on here. But you can buy the red phones, and they'll donate a certain amount from the price to, I think it's cancer and AIDS research.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the red products. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I remember doing it with, like, an old phone years and years, and that was a long time ago, because it was a razor, I think.
The ad for the iPhone red came up, and my husband was like, hey, I think you finally... That's your new phone. I'm like, I don't need a new phone. I just paid for this one. I'm good. But yes, if I was going to, that's the thing I would do.
No,
so good for you, Linda. So, supporting the cause.
Yep. And then the other thing I did this week is we recorded our 20th episode of Glitter Dice. So my other podcast is almost legal. So that'll be coming out on June 1st is when that one will be coming out. And
yay,
we got a little soapboxy by accident, but it's okay. It's
it happens.
Yeah,
these things happen.
Yeah, that's what I've been up to.
Amber, what has your week been like?
Well, Free Comic Book Day was Saturday, and that was great. My local store is awesome. R&B Comics and Games. We've had one of their managers on. So I got some great stuff. Only Living Boy, Howard Lovecraft. How cute is that? I got a Doctor Who. There's an Overwatch comic.
I was so mad I didn't get in on time that day because I was going to go pick that up. I heard about it.
Yeah, I heard about it in Steven Stryker, I can't say his name, was on Morning Stream.
Steven Schleicher?
Yes, and he talks about comics, and I get a lot of really good heads up from him. Ghost in the Shell, DC Superhero Girls, which I heard is really good. I want to check it out and kind of pre-screen it, but then I'm going to, if it is, I feel good, I will probably send it to my niece because her birthday is next week, and I'll be sending it up her other presents. The Mechanica, which looks like a really steampunky thing. Maxwell's Yay. Demons. And then my local shop owner, Bev, was like, hey, now I am remembering, right? You're really into Nightmare Before Christmas, right? Yeah. So the number one of, she's like, ta-da, the zero is free. And she put it on my list already to have the subscription in my box. And it's Zero's Journey.
I just
journey.
Like him.
And the art is really different. It's a little more like sketchy, but I really like the way it's looking. And then Marvel Rising. So I got that for free, and then I add some stuff to my subs, like the Nightmare Before Christmas one, because number one, she already put aside for me. And DC Aww. Nation, which is another thing I heard about from Steven, that this was new. They're kind of doing a whole, like, not a reboot of the universe, but a kind of a new universe thing with DC. I mean, since they've done a lot of integration I always want to name it after the old one. Clock, watch, death, whatever. God, my brain. Anyway.
I was going to say, I'm not
doing
not
stuff.
In
I know, my brain just failed. old classic with the smiley face with the bullet hole.
Watchmen.
So the new one, Doomsday Clock. That's what I'm looking for. The new.
Okay, that's where you. Okay, I was somehow not following that, but I. now I understand it all.
But
now
the Doomsday Clock series miniseries yes. is integrating in like the whole universe, and I think that is now, part of what they're doing here in reforming things. So I am starting to collect DC Nation with number zero, and we'll see how that goes. And then just cool. my regular stuff. Oh, there was a Harley versus Joker, or Loves Joker, like, because, you know. And she got really upset about this. There's this, I haven't read it yet, Old Lady Harley. And she's like, I'm so disturbed by that. I'm like, how's she going to live that long? But I love the idea of Old Lady Harley, because that's like, you know, when you get old, I think you get to a point of I don't give a shit anymore. If you're starting at Harley and get to that age.
I say you already start with I don't give a shit anymore. Like, what happens at that point?
Like, how much more Tank Girl can you get? And then I got part of my Mother's Day present early because we spotted a collector box with Harley.
Yay.
And it's gorgeous. And I was like, that'll be easy for categorization, so I'm not scribbling in pencil on all my boxes of what is in what. I've been collecting Harley and all the connected things long enough that I can fill that box and they'll all be in one place. So kind of dual purpose. Like, I can spend $13 on a fucking piece of cardboard because it's for organizational purposes.
It's an organizing box.
So we went there and then we went straight over and watched Infinity Wars for our second viewing. We got stuck in 3D because they had the times listed wrong. I'm glad I did, just so I can poke at something in particular there. We'll talk about that shit later. I started actually reading the Infinity Gauntlet. I had not read it.
Yeah,
that's different. And I got an invite to the WoW beta.
Yay! I haven't had time.
I can't. My husband works from home most of the time, so today was the only day I was like able. I was gonna log in and play when he didn't have to sit there and be distracted and envious, but it didn't work out that way. All I did, I got logged in and I started my character. I started a Void Elf Warlock, and haven't really done anything yet, but we'll get there, and that's what will be streaming on my channel at 9 of 12.
Yay! Super, what have you been up to? What's your geeky week been recently?
One thing is I've actually just started with a podcast that I'm doing with my cousin that I kind of grew up with that we're calling Exhibit Q. It's not up online necessarily yet, but I'm working on it. And I have two episodes that we've recorded and we're ready to throw up soon. It's interesting that you mention having just started reading Infinity Gauntlet. I went through and reread it again. Because I realized I haven't read this since the 90s. So I needed to go back and reread it so that I could sort of refamiliarize myself with some of the sort of intricacies of that. And yeah, it's very, there are definitely some similarities and some way, way differences that we'll get into, I'm sure.
Definitely.
Aside from that, I spent the day at the hospital, which is totally nothing, but I am on some drugs, so no one will notice that my behavior is any different except for me, and that's fine.
I hope you're feeling better.
I'm feeling way better right now. But
that's good. Yeah. Oh, no. Hospitals suck. Everybody yeah. Should stop going to the hospital. I'd be good. Or stop having a reason to go to the hospital. Definitely do go to the hospital if you need to. But I just need everybody to stop needing to go to the hospital these days.
That would I be would very much like to have not been there. So,
oh gosh. So I went to Vegas. That was like a thing.
It's just a small thing.
Yeah, just a small thing. Just days of being intoxicated with nerd friends. It was really great. Got to see everybody. Got to see people I don't get to see often enough. It was super fun. Ember can concur. There was lots of drinking, lots of fun time having. Vegas is Vegas, man. That place is exhausting. After a few days, I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm good. I had a good time, but I want to go home and sleep, like take a nap. Like there were a few times where I'm like, oh man, I'm going to bed so early. I want to party with everybody. And then I'm like, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. Like, this is, what is going on? It was ridiculous. Let's see. Other than that, I came home, video games, work, all that stuff. Lots of video games, actually. I played through Barony with some friends. I'm terrible at those games. It's just awful in general. Mm-hmm. But fun. It's fun to, and they're all like super good at it. And I'm all like, oh, did I just accidentally aggro some mob that's going to kill everybody? Well, if you guys could just kill that, that'd be great. Because I'm going to go hide in this corner now. Okay, bye. That game is so silly. Hearthstone, I really like the new solo adventure. I've been playing through that like way too much. The Witchwood solo adventure. I really like it, but I get really pissed off because you get to like the fifth boss. And you're like, this is going so well. And then it's like just impossible. So I've gotten to 7 out of 8 like 3 times, but I can't seem to finish the last one. So that'll be probably continue those adventures this week. Also, it's Children's Week on WoW. And it's the only stupid achievement I need for the stupid event achievement. And I missed it again this year because I can't do the one thing I need to do. And it makes me mad. Stupid World of Warcraft. Stupid being completionist. So over it. But yeah, so video games, resting, recuperating, trying desperately not to be taken down from this cold that my body is fighting, like viciously fighting. But yeah, it was a crazy busy week. Vegas was fun. Vegas was super duper 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 fun. I know Ember talked a little bit about it last week, so I'll spare most of the details. Yeah, if you want to hear more, poke me. I'll tell you more fun stuff that happened. Other than that, I believe it is time for the Geek Grapevine. With the typing. I wish my computer was that quiet, or my keyboard rather. All right, so I had to pull this up because Warner Brothers confirms a DC streaming service and new shows. So so Swamp Thing, Harley, so far are the ones that I know they mentioned for sure. There's always Young Justice, but yeah, I don't know how I guess to compete with the Netflix stuff, but I don't know why it would be on its own streaming service. Like, I kind of feel like if you're going to do this, like partner up with Hulu or something. Like, I don't want to have yet another streaming service because I'm just over it.
I think they're trying to do what Disney is doing, However, Disney has a huge base to go off of.
Like a gigantic catalog that everybody wants.
Yeah.
Yeah, DC doesn't so much have that, so...
They do have they do have a lot of animated movies and such.
Oh, yeah,
and...
Go ahead. Their animated movies are generally very good. Just they don't so much have a lot of live action that's worth that I would pay for a streaming service for.
Yeah, I think if they go with putting a lot of their animated stuff on there, they might have an okay time of it. But I just don't know because of all the recent kind of, I don't want to call them movie bombs because they didn't do super badly, but they didn't do good. They didn't do well. So I just don't know.
A lot of, was it CBS? Tries it too. I think a lot of people are just wanting in on that space, and maybe it's too late and they should partner. I agree.
I mean,
but we'll
CBS
see what they charge. They haven't said what they're going to charge. I pay for Crunchyroll.
Sure. But, Crunchyroll gives you access to a bajillion anime. Like, I think about it, CBS, the only reason people were even doing that wasn't that how you got Star Trek?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason that anybody was doing it, and then Star Trek was over, and they're all like, cool, we're done with that now. I mean, I do wrestling, because I'm a weird wrestling nerd, too, which we don't talk about often. I try to keep that hidden as my, super secret stuff, but I do pay for that, but then, once that's done, I'm like, cool, I'm good, but... Like, that's a very niche thing, and I don't feel like DC... I don't know. Are there enough DC fans that are going to be like, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess I think about things like The Killing Joke was so good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mentioning that because I rewatched it again recently. It's so good. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to watch it. It's dark, but good.
If they put all of, the Batman series on there...
Yeah.
I'll go for that.
Oh, yeah.
And the Harley one they're making is brand new. But looks like it's based on that old original conception from the animated series.
Right.
I mean, and look at Netflix, and they're reaching into so much original content and how much of that is animated. So there might be space there at the right price point.
Yeah, $1.99.
Pay $5.
Definitely the price would be the key, because... If they are charging as much as I would pay for Netflix, I'm not paying that much for that.
No.
No, absolutely not.
But I'd drop $4.99 on that.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know if I'd do $4.99.
Especially if they're creating new original stuff.
I don't even know if I'd pay $4.99 for all the Defenders stuff that's on Netflix already.
Well, you wouldn't be able to get any of it there anymore.
I mean, with Netflix, they have so much stuff. That I've sat and watched, that aside from even just taking out the Marvel stuff, which mostly has been good, they have so much other original material that's been so good. But I don't know what a DC based thing is going to have that's going to make it that fantastic.
Yeah, it's kind of how I feel. It's weird. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see where things go. I'm interested to see how, price point will definitely matter a lot. Linda, this looks like the thing you were mentioning. This looks crafty stuff.
So, I found this while I was going through my Facebook feed. Apparently, there's this embroidery thread company that posted up this thing on Instagram where it said... send us your floral spring designs to get a chance of getting your design into one of our free patterns, plus goodies. So they were basically soliciting a lot of crafters to make a pattern so they could put it into a free thing so that they could make money off of it by selling their embroidery floss. And the response is beautiful. There's just all of these artists that have made these designs that are just snarky as hell.
Oh, my God.
Oh, these are wonderful.
Yeah, one is...
By the way, that's, the embroidery floss company, too. I used to do a lot of kind of cross-stitch.
Mm-hmm. So it's, pay artists RIP, the artist died in 2018 from exposure. There's this one that's paid by Exposure, a corporate fantasy tale. And they lived in the house that Exposure built, and they ate their Exposure food, and they never complained, and they never got paid. To do otherwise would be rude.
I think my favorite is Stitching is My Freedom, but it's not fucking free.
Yeah.
Fuck you, pay me. I like that one.
Oh my god, there's an Oregon Trail! Sorry.
Yeah, they have one of them Oregon Trail. They've got, like...
It says that you've died of exposure.
It's just beautiful. And so, like, yeah. what I love the most about this, though, is if you scroll all the way back to the top, there is an edit. As of May 1st, they edited the Instagram post to include a $500 prize. And I was like, thank you, sir and or madam.
But oh, people are going to still be able to get all the patterns? One person gets paid?
I hope it's for everyone that gets their pattern chosen, or just the one person that gets their pattern chosen. But that is so much better, and I'm like, see?
Oh, it's wonderful.
This is how we fix things. So I had to share that because it made my heart feel all warm and fuzzy.
I'm going to show this all my musician friends.
That's so good. All right, so this next one is definitely getting into spoiler territory, which, by the way, good job, guys, on putting... Oh, by the way, spoilers below. Bro, there are spoilers in your headline. I do not understand. Like, even, like, 2 weeks before the movie came out, this is one of the first times I've noticed it the worst, where 2 weeks before the movie came out, people, you know, were already starting to see it, like, from, like, in the press or, you know, whatever. And they were, like, putting out articles based on little tidbits that we knew, and it's like, okay, your headline is a spoiler. Like, please stop with the headlines. Like, this one absolutely same thing. So we are definitely in spoiler territory, guys.
Yes.
But this one...
I couldn't help
Ember,
myself.
Did you put this one in there?
I did.
No, I get it, for sure.
I couldn't help myself, so it's starting spoilers early with our last news item of the day. But it was found that some Avengers improvised some lines, and one... particularly thrilled me because Tom Holland, who plays Spider-Man, when he, spoiler, disintegrates.
I call it dusting.
Dusting, dies.
When he dusted.
My husband and a lot of memes are referring to it as the dissolve, because it's like that's the effect you use in the movie.
Yeah, that's that old meme.
Yeah. So it's like, he likes dissolve transitions as much as what's-his-face likes screen flare. And I noticed it right away and went, because when he goes, he does the, I don't want to go, which is a Doctor Who, very famous 10th Doctor David Tennant's, like, heartbreaking, when he regenerates, like, it's not normally how a doctor expresses their last. And it was heartbreaking for everyone. He was a very well-loved doctor. And so it was like, well, we know who his doctor was, you know, especially once we found out that it was improvised. Because my first thought was, is he allowed to use that? And then I was like, and then I found he improvised it. And I was like, oh, that's really awesome he did. Now, the other thing I will mention, because now we're already in spoilers territory, is upon my second viewing, I went, huh. That also ends up making... an earlier remark by Tony Stark, meta-prescient, because Stark gives him hell and scolds Spider-Man for, like, okay, there will be no more pop culture references for the rest of this trip. Do you understand me? And, like, the only one between that and him using it as his last fucking words is him just, I mean, Star-Lord kind of started it with the Flashdance thing. So, anyway. But it's really neat, and I'm glad he got that freedom to do that. And, yeah. And then he said he was sorry. So, like,
I have
are you sorry
a
that you made a pop culture reference?
He said he was sorry. No, I've got a fan theory about why he said he was sorry, And it has to do with certain other things that we'll get to when we get to discussing, which will be in a moment.
Yeah, my husband's got stuff in there too, so we had a meme I didn't recognize. So.
All right. So that's cool that it was in. Watch it again today. Why'd I do that? It's painful. So good. So bad. So third time.
So buckle your seatbelt because the moment that movie starts,
you're in. Okay, so first of all, I just want to say, I knew it, but I think every other Marvel nerd did when they were like, okay, Ragnarok ends, and we're all like, people are like, whose ship is that? And I'm like, it's Sovereign 2, duh, everybody knows. Like, everybody knows it's Thanos, like, we're not surprised, totally. But I wasn't really ready to, like, be like, insert everybody dying immediately. Like, that was not what I was ready for. Like, I was ready for it to be like, oh, dun-dun-dun, dramatic entrance.
I was wondering how they were going to start it. And then they start at the end of that fight, and I'm like, that's when my brain was like, okay, buckle up, because this film is going to motor.
They pretty much made it clear. By the way, you're going to get your moments of lightheartedness, but otherwise the whole thing's going to suck.
They did not warn you or anything. They just ripped the Band-Aid right off immediately.
You're good. I did want to include, I'll make sure it's in the show notes, or I guess Ember, our editor in chief, will make sure that the show notes include this link. But I did find what I felt was one of the better articles to kind of sum up the major points of as far as the differences between the comic and the movies, because there are definitely some very, very specific things that are different. But before we get into that, I just want to kind of go around the table real quick. Like, if you could just, like, your, like, 1 to 2 line first impression, like, just any aspect, whatever it is that you have to say about the film. Linda, I'm going to start with you, because you look like you're, like, on the edge of your seats, ready to, like...
I knew that this movie was going to end on a, cliffhanger, and that it was going to end with somebody dying. I didn't expect it to be half the cast.
Half the universe.
But I'm ready for the second one now. I gotta wait. But it's like, okay, you got me. I'm waiting to see how this plays out, because the thing, and I do have this later down in the notes, the thing that makes this movie is the villain. Thanos is, like, the best villain ever, because you're looking at him, you're like, okay, you have, like, a bajillion points of conviction and a little bit of compassion, and if you were skewed about 90 degrees this way, you would be a hero. But you're not.
Those are usually the best, though, for sure. Yeah. Ember, what are your what's your hot take?
I really, really liked it. I liked it enough to see it a second time. I thought I would catch more the second viewing, but I didn't really. It was all kind of there. So I guess that means it was very well presented. I had some serious issues here and there with just, like, I felt they overbalanced the humor. I think the intent, maybe because bringing the Guardians in, like, they had to create some kind of balance. But some of it was, like, almost a little too out of character for the characters that do it. They're in the 3D viewing. They did a stupid fucking blah in your face thing. Like, the old cheesy. Like, they couldn't resist. And I was like, this is really good. It's the right kind of immersive 3D where it's not that noticeable. Like, you forget you're seeing it that way after a few scenes. And they're doing a really good job. And I was like, okay. And it's not making me get vertigo, which sometimes happens, any of that. And then when the Guardians ended up in the Azrathian ship debris space, they did, like, a couple of rocks shooting right in your face. And it was not only just a cheap piece of shit trick, but it pulled me out of the immersion, because the windscreen on the ship is, like, way over there. It didn't even make sense to have it in there. So it wasn't even show off. It was bad. And I thought, I didn't like Captain America's fucking hipster beard, and I think Black Widow should not be blonde and look like the bleach job damaged the shit out of it. So there's that.
All right. Hot takes. All right. Super. What's your first impression?
I basically like walked into the movie thinking people were going to die, and yeah, I didn't think they were going to kill that many people. But it's also that there were people I think a lot of fans came in expecting to die. Like, people kind of expected that we would lose either Tony or Steve or both.
Or both. I was on the both train.
It would be like a thing because they're out of contract and they're kind of at their end point. They've both had their three solo movies. And instead, they kill off all the new guys. And I was like, what?
What?
Ultimately, granted, to just as context here, I walked into this this movie wearing my Winter Soldier hat.
And,
as soon as that happened to Bucky, I was just like kind of silent the rest of the time because I could not handle
my heart that moment.
And it also is the example of the way that actor can use very little dialogue to really emote. Because all he says is Steve.
Yes.
He's like
confused and frightened and terrified. And then he's just gone. And I was like, what? So I did not expect it. But at the end of it, I was like, holy shit, they actually did this. They pulled the trigger. And I was not sure they were going to pull that many triggers.
Yeah, that was definitely part of my hot take for sure. Two things on that. One, I expected to lose Steve, Tony, and Thor. That's what I was prepared for. I was mentally and emotionally prepared for all three. I was like, that's how it's going to go down. Thor probably should have been dead already anyway, kind of, sort of, in a lot of ways. So I figured he'd have his moment and that'd be it. I also didn't expect this to be Thanos' story, and it was, and I liked it. I was super in for it. I cried at all the moments I should have cried. Wanda and Vision, dude, like, that's one of the greatest romances in all of comic book history. And I was really pissed off about how it was handled in Civil War. Because I was like, this is so awkward and stupid. Like, this is so garbage, not happy. And then I felt like they redeemed themselves a lot in how they handled that. So that made me really happy. But I think it was ballsy as hell. I mean, I figured that I was like, this is where the story goes. What do they do? And I was like, they're not going to do that, though. They're not going to do that. That'll just piss people off. And then I was like, well, shit, they made the bold choice, and it was ballsy as hell. So, yeah, I'm in. Linda, I know we all have so many things. But Linda and I were both super excited when we watched Black Panther. We went through and we both picked up on the, oh, great, another broken white boy for me to fix. And yes. We were both like, oh, please let it be Bucky. and then when it was, they were super happy. So, yeah, that was wrenching. Just, oh, so heart-wrenching.
That moment, though, like, I literally had that a part of my brain disconnect from the movie when he went, Steve, and then, like, ashed away. And I was like, there's going to be so many sad Steve fan fictions. Like, that went through my brain. Literally.
Oh, yeah.
Because Sam went away.
Yeah, they just took away everything.
I was like,
he's got Nat still.
He's got Nat, but Steve is going to be on a terrible mission now. He's going to be on a mission from I'm going to fuck Thanos up hardcore.
I hope he shaves his face.
As is Rocket.
Yeah, and Rocket. Dude. Rocket was the only one of the Guardians that made it.
Yeah.
He was the only one.
I'm sort of excited about that just because I want to see Rocket go into full on I'm going to murder you mode because as Steve keeps losing Bucky, he keeps losing Groot. And there's no way he doesn't go off the rails crazy now, which I kind of like because I like Rocket that way, but I just like Rocket. So
I
love Rocket.
My husband and I have two different theories about why he survived. My theory is that he was an experiment, and so he's the only one of his kind. And then my husband's theory is that he's still considered a raccoon, which is a non-sentient animal. And Thanos only wanted to get rid of the half of the sentient
people. But it was supposed to be completely, like, his idea was that there was no...
It was random. It was random. Yeah.
Completely random. And Groot was last of his kind as well.
We don't know that, do we?
I thought there was discussed early on
that his planet was destroyed or something.
I think that they maybe mentioned that in the first Guardians movie. I need to go back and watch it.
Maybe. I think you might be right.
Something that happened was they were playing the original Avengers on TV the other day. And my husband and I were watching it, and it occurred to us that all of the original Avengers did survive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But that's the other thing. So, all right. So, of course, one of the other heartbreaking things is that somebody asked, like, does anybody know what the I am Groot line was when he died? And somebody was like, I guess they said it was translated to him as saying dad. And I'm like, oh, God, that's horrible. So don't, I don't think about it.
And that wasn't even just like someone. That was James Gunn.
Yeah. So yeah. It was somebody.
The director of the Guardians movies.
There you go.
That's what it was. So it's like, that's not even just some weird fan theory. That is like the authority what Groot says. And I'm like, well, that's horrible.
I only saw it third hand, so I wasn't sure if it was actually of who it was exactly. But yeah, I knew it was somebody from the production. I didn't realize it was James Gunn.
Another thing that he said is that he's confirmed that Gamora's soul is in the Soul Gem.
Sure.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
So that means she might be able to come back. Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of theories out there.
Before we get to the theories, because there's a lot of them as far as where we go from here. So taking a step back here, we could go on for a real long time about the differences, but I think that there are a couple key differences to mention from the comic books to the movies. One, the big thing that hasn't been mentioned is Lady Death hasn't been mentioned at all, and that the entire driving force of Thanos to begin with in the comic books is, like, he wants to impress Lady Death. Lady Death is like, oh, whatever, dude, leave me alone, stop trying to bug me. And he's like, but I love you. And she's like, okay, well, fine, kill half the universe, and then, yeah, like, I'll go on a date with you or something, I don't know. That's what I remember from the comic.
She brought him back specifically coming on board with his mission, that she felt there was an imbalance between the number of people that were alive equaled more than the people that had ever died, is what I got. And I've only read, that's in the first couple pages of the Infinity Gauntlet.
Sure, yeah, there are things I can
say about how that story continues and ends, but I also kind of, I mean, can I spoil a comic that's from like 30 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, spoil the things that happened from the comics 30 years ago.
Because, well, one thing I noticed is, like, going through and rereading it again, was there's no point where Death actually, like, says, yeah, go ahead and do this. I want you to do this. This will make me, you know, more interested in you. This is just shit that he does because he thinks that's what she wants. He's just going on this whole crusade because he's, like, basically just, like, I feel like he's practically just, like, your modern, like, nice guy wearing a fedora calling everyone lady.
He is.
He's just like, why won't you love me? And it's so pathetic, really.
Yeah. I really liked the Thanos in the film, honestly. Yeah. In that scene where Gamora, when she thinks is like, ha, yep, the universe got you because you don't love anything because you're a giant asshole. And then when Red Skull goes, oh, she's like, oh, tears, perfect. And he's just like, those tears aren't for him. And you're just like, ugh. And then you see it in her face when she makes the connection. And that scene acted so well. Oh, so good.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as she started talking and was like ranting at him, I was like, oh, honey, no. Oh, yeah. No. Because I knew what was coming. I could just see that happening and went, oh, no, you don't understand. Oh, my God, stop talking. And she just kept going, and then that happened.
Yep.
Well, they completely eliminated Mephisto and switched it out for another minion of Thanos. And then they did the Hulk pitching him into Doctor Strange's study instead of Silver Surfer. And that's kind of a big... Is Silver Surfer still, like, part of the deal where they can't use him?
Well, they can use anything now, though, technically.
Not yet. there's some stuff not finalized.
That deal hasn't been gone through yet, though, so they actually don't have the rights to those characters yet. They still have several months to a year, I think, of arbitration they've got to go through antitrust things and crap before they can even touch those characters for their cinematic stuff. So the Silver Surfer is still tied up in that, I think.
In terms of the movie, I think that was a good call, though, because that would have been a character that we'd never been introduced to, and you would have had to have taken the time to introduce him.
Yeah.
Although they didn't really do that with the generals, but whatever.
No, but
that was one of my issues with the story, actually, was I wanted Thanos's hench people to have been fleshed out a little bit more. Like part of the reason I really liked the one whose name I always forget. The other reason I really liked him is because they actually fleshed out his thing. He's like, I've never failed him before, so I'm not going to do it now. I wanted to know more about them, and I wanted them to be explained a little bit more, their motivations.
One of my favorite lines, actually. My power's greater than yours. Yeah, but the kid's seen more movies.
Yeah, dude, for real?
Right?
Remember that really old movie? That Aliens?
Have you ever seen the movie Aliens?
I love that, because he did that in the last movie, too, so that was a really nice little bit of consistently, like, what he brings to the party.
I actually didn't hate Spider-Man, and I normally tend to hate Spider-Man a lot. I'm sorry, I know. Bad Marvel fan, but Spider-Man usually annoys me, but he doesn't annoy me. Like, I don't know why, but for some reason, he doesn't annoy me.
He is so much more like what my picture as that character from the comic book than either of the other two portrayals were, where I was like, you know, the last one I just kept going, when did Spider-Man become some weird hipster douchebag?
Yeah, I was like, yeah, when did he become like a hipster cool guy? Like, I don't know.
I liked all of them.
Seems age appropriate and sounds like he's from New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's not.
Things.
I liked all of them, but I do think they finally got that, and it's tricky to do. But Spider-Man, his banter while fighting, is coming across better with this one than it did with the previous ones. I was glad they were just taking that challenge on in previous ones, but in this one, I think part of it is just his voice and how young he looks. That he's doing it because he's nervous and can't stop talking.
I got you. I got you. I'm sorry, I can't remember your names.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, my favorite comedic moment, though, and we were repeating it all weekend in Vegas. Like, it was so bad. We were like running around and just, we brought it up so many times because it was so funny. Was the, I'm Peter, and he's like, Doctor Strange. Oh, made up names. I'm Spider-Man. It's like, oh God. Just delightful, well-placed comedy. Also, Thor referring to Rocket as the rabbit the whole
sweet
time.
Sweet rabbit.
Oh, sweet rabbit.
And Rocket didn't freak out like he usually does and get mad. That was different.
He's working on it. He's evolving as a character.
Yeah.
Guardians 2, I mean, he went through a lot in that one.
So although the pirate angel, that's some of my favorites.
As far as the things I love, I mentioned most of them already, I think. I did mention all of them. Oh, except for one thing, Peter Dinklage. We didn't know who he was going to portray.
That was great.
Such a great part for him. I loved it. The payoff was nice.
I've been staying away from anything related to that up until the movie, so I didn't even know he was in it
until
he showed up.
I saw a tweet that said he was in it, and then I didn't know anything else.
So I was having a little...
The misdirection of that was nice.
Totally.
I had a little trouble separating it from his character in Game of Thrones. It just was so... Because he was stumbling around, so it was also like... He's also always drunk, so it was... That was a little distracting to me, as much as I love Peter Dinklage.
I didn't get that. That's weird. I actually didn't get that. I actually kind of just thought he was... I do think it's funny that he's like this one dude that's left in this like star. Also, Groot sacrificing his arm and then Stormbreaker.
That was amazing.
That is a big axe. That is a giant axe.
Giving Groot axe. That like
oh,
decision.
Banner.
That was the most emotional part of the movie for me. That's the only part where I almost cried.
Yeah, when little shitty teenager Groot, like, actually, like, puts his head out of his video game for a minute.
And
is like,
maybe it's because I have teenagers, like, that I just really emotionally latched on to, like, look at him stepping up and doing the thing. Like, that
oh my
was the most
gosh,
emotional part
the,
for me.
When Thor came out, and when Banner's just like, you guys are so screwed.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
That,
I watched it at the fan event, so
I
it was
like
great.
That.
Every time people were, like, yelling and sighing and sad noises, and it was, like, the applause when people showed up. And I definitely will always go to those if I can now. It was such a cool way to see a movie.
Yeah,
Banner joking so much was specifically something that bugged me. That was the particularly out of character with... He had his internal trauma going on. Hulk was, like, so terrified he wouldn't even fucking come out. Banner had just been through years and years of being, like, suppressed and then, like, thrown into a building and, like, oh my god, Thanos is coming. Like, and then in the second viewing, I felt a little more like, okay, maybe that's just how he's reacting to being afraid. Because that's how
well,
I laugh.
It's a direct continuation from Ragnarok, though, too.
But
Banner is, like, wearing Tony's
yeah,
clothes
exactly.
And, like, having a fucking anxiety attack because he's not on Earth anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
I would say I think that the humor in Ragnarok, I think, way overshot it.
I did not like Ragnarok at all. Because
like,
it was
I liked
too wacky.
The action parts of Ragnarok, but they wouldn't let any of the action or serious stuff just be.
Exactly.
In that. Like, it was like a joke every 5 seconds, to the point where the movie ends with, you know... With them being like, okay, well, Asgard is destroyed. We're off trying to find a new home. This is a somber moment. And then they have to come in with zany rock guy going, I accidentally stepped on my friend. Ha ha ha, he's dead. Oh, wait, no, he's not. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
It was...
Because of the previews of Ragnarok,
it
looked like a damn comedy.
Well, it got,
so
it got
when I
place.
Saw it, it was less silly. So I wasn't as freaked out.
Well, it got to the point in Ragnarok where it's like, oh, a serious thing is happening. Joke in 5, 4, 3, 2. Yep, there's the joke. You could tell where the jokes were gonna be.
That's how I felt about Infinity War. I saw them all coming, and some of them, like the Star-Lord Thor thing, went on way too long.
I thought that they didn't need that at all. That was one thing I didn't like, is there was no need for Quill to be jealous of Thor.
I think it was in character
for
Quill though.
Jealous of Thor. That's what he always does.
They
wasted time when they could have spent that time on something else in the story.
But if you were coming into...
We all know that you guys all didn't like Ragnarok. I loved Ragnarok.
I liked it.
I loved the comedy. Because when I read Marvel comics, I always love the fact that there's always so much comedy in there. And I feel like when you're putting it on film, it needs to be bigger. And I don't know, I just like it. I find it delightful. But I understand it's not for everybody. It, for me, though, I really enjoy it.
No,
just,
I really enjoyed it
in
Ragnarok. I just thought it was overbalanced in this.
I could see that it's overbalanced. I could see people considering it overbalanced. I don't... You know, I was pretty... All in all, I was happy with most things. I have to say, there are a couple things with the Hulk that really bothered me, and it's not his like weird, like I feel like him being scared and all of that appropriate. Plus, I think there's Gray Hulk potential here now too. But the thing that I think is really stupid is the whole Black Widow Hulk thing. Like that is so dumb. Like stop, just let it go.
I could talk for probably 3 hours about how much I hate that entire plot line.
Me too. Like, oh, I hate it so much.
As a fan of the Hulk from the comics and a fan of Black Widow from the comics, I just hate it so much. And they keep trying to push it.
I just want Banner to get a girl so bad because I love him and I feel bad for him.
I am looking forward to and waiting for the verbal smackdown between Banner and the Hulk. I want him to sit in front of a mirror and be like, look, you big fucking coward. It's because of you that our friends are dead. And just have him, like, lay the smackdown. And it wasn't
really
as impactful.
What kind of happened in the comic for a bit that caused some changes in what the Hulk was that I think is what they're leaning towards at this point. Because I don't know where else they would be going with this right now, with what they're doing with him. It doesn't make any sense unless they are trying to go with integrating his personalities or turning him Gray Hulk.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I really liked was Thor. Thor was the one that when we all knew someone was going to die, at least. Thor has been dying so much in the comics. They've been, like, actually killing off alternate Thors, and he was already such a mess. I thought it was going to be Thor. That, and you have he's really just an aspect, so you could bring him back if you needed to, like they did with Loki. So I really thought it was going to be Thor, and instead, getting to see Thor back in actual full god mode after all the shit that's been going on with him felt really great when he showed up in Wakanda.
Yeah.
I'm in on it.
Matt thought that he looked good with the eye patch, but it's like, yeah, I know they didn't want to have to like deal with the actor dealing with loss of vision and stuff like that, so Matt thought he looked rather dashing with the eye patch, and it goes into the comics of him being not old man Thor, but older Thor, and how he's turning into his father, sort of.
Yeah, Odin one eye. Yeah.
Yeah. So That was his opinion.
Lucy technically still only has one eye.
All in all, I super enjoyed it. I enjoyed it being Thanos' story. I'm pretty happy with it. I think it was ballsy as hell for them to go this route. I think it's funny that so many people are pissed off about it. I do have to agree with you, Linda. I know you put it in your notes, and you kind of hinted at it but didn't say it fully. I do agree that it was just go, 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 go. The movie doesn't let you breathe from the very, very, very beginning.
Yep, it's just like, okay, strap in, everyone. This is a roller coaster.
Like, you're on it now. All right, so going forward, now, this is something I missed, so maybe I'll have to, I didn't see it on any of the viewings. I must have missed it. I got to check again. But is Asgard dead now? If everybody, Heimdall's dead and everything else? No, I guess not, maybe.
No, there is one throwaway line, like in the middle of the film, like early to middle of the film, where it's Thor or someone says half of them got away. Like, I think basically, or either half of them got away or Thanos divided them and shunted the others off in like escape pods out into space.
That's definitely possible because that would have been his way for sure. That would make sense.
Yeah.
And we saw nothing of Sif. Yeah. I'm dying to know about Sif. Now I'm Scott Johnson. I want to know about characters that weren't in the movie.
I'm pretty sure that we've... I mean, so the problem is that Sif transferred over to the TV properties years ago. Sif was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and came up a few times, so I have a feeling that she may not come around anymore in the films.
Which I am very actually interested to see, because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is still a thing, and it's supposed to be concurrent with the cinematic universe. I'm wondering if, like, at the end of one of the seasons, half the cast just ashes.
I have been told that there is some sort of crossover that happens, but it's not huge. I haven't caught up on that show, so
I haven't. I'm not caught up either. Yeah, but I don't think that Sif can come back into the MCU because of how often her contract being tied in with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the other things when it was used.
And it may be that they just haven't had a reason to use her either. So I don't know. I know that I have heard things that are, you know, rumors that Kevin Feige, who runs the MCU as far as the movies, and Jeff Loeb, who runs the TV part of things, don't like each other very much. And that that's part of the reason there have been trouble with doing some, like, real crossovers between the two, is that they don't get along, which I think is kind of pathetic, but whatever.
So, okay, let's see. And then as far as the who's dead conversation, there are a lot of people that are like, okay, the people that actually were killed prior to the actual, like, ashification of everyone probably are actually dead. Like, Loki, for example, he might actually be dead this time. Heimdall, probably dead, but great death, by the way. If that is his death, that's such a good death. Like, give me the power one more time. Oh, so good. I love Hein. Oh, I'm so sad to see him die, but, like, to be able to die and still, like, do, like, one last thing, because he's freaking badass, is so good.
Oh. Yeah, unlike Thor's friends in Ragnarok that all got killed and, like...
handled for no reason.
Like, yeah. Offhandedly, like, practically no anything to it, just dead.
The Warrior Three, those guys?
Yeah. Heimdall at least got, like, a scene. He got to actually, like, do something with his death, and he got to go out a hero, at least. I'd want him back just because Idris Elba is just awesome, but... Good. You know, Loki, I don't know. It's weird. I see the theory about why people who were actual dead would stay dead. But I mean, if somebody else gets hold of the time gems, or this involves time travel in some way, which is what has been theorized as what the next movie partially deals with, time travel can fix anything.
Yeah. And on that note, my theory that I was going to talk about earlier. So right when Thanos gets the time gem and steps into the void to go to Earth, Doctor Strange is like, this is the end game. So I'm thinking that in the one instance where they win, Thanos has to kind of win first, and then they can take it, they can get the stuff back and like,
but
take
he has
it over.
To use it first. Yeah.
So, my theory is the reason why Spider-Man was going, I'm sorry, was that Doctor Strange explained that some of them were going to go, some of them weren't going to make it, and Spider-Man was saying, I'm sorry, because he wasn't going to be able to help. That's mm-hmm. That's my own theory, because otherwise, I mean, I know he could
plausible.
Be saying... I know he could be saying, I'm sorry that I got involved, but I think it might be like, I'm sorry I can't help
Mr. Stark.
No,
he's just sorry
Stark.
That he just used a Doctor Who reference. He was told not to do that.
I do think that Nebula is to spoil the comics for those of you. Nebula is the fixer in the comics. I mean, or at least the route to the fixing. Nebula
sort
is the
of,
one
yeah.
that kind of, that ha- plays a very key part in that. And the fact that she's there, she's now super motivated because the only person that she has a questionably positive, a positive relationship with is Gamora, and she already hated her dad.
Yeah.
Now
Gamora, who is now dead.
Now she's super motivated. So I think that's set up pretty nicely. Nebula's where she needs to be to interact with everyone.
Well,
she's
the only one that can probably help Tony get unstranded.
Yeah, get off.
Exactly.
Get off
that
the
would
thing.
Also be key to get home. Also, did Pepper Potts live or die? Is she going to have a baby?
Don't, yeah,
I don't know what's going on.
Nobody knows.
She
also,
wouldn't lie about being pregnant.
I know.
I think we had a theory, my husband and I were talking and looking and examining who went and who didn't, and that Strange knew it was the only way. Mm-hmm. If you look at maybe it's actually, I mean, this is such a huge event and it did involve the stones. So it's got, you know, time involved, like our guest mentioned, that it could be a parallel universe situation and rejoining them. They put a lot of all the mystical powers that could pull off something like that have done dimensional travel. Scarlet Witch, Doctor Strange, all of those people are on that, the other side. If it wasn't dissolved as a transition scene into a parallel universe instead of death, they put like people with the right tools in that alternate to do something to rejoin the timeline, right? So anyway, that's a theory.
And even if they are in like a death realm rather than like an alternate universe, they've got T'Challa, who is like super.
Mm-hmm.
He's made that hop before.
Yeah,
yeah. He's like, he's been to the ancestor realm like multiple times. The other thing about the Loki not being dead, one last thought there, and then I think we're probably going to just get final thoughts before we could go on. I'm sure the four of us could successfully talk about this for hours and hours and hours, but kind of one of my last thoughts there is an interesting point that someone made, and obviously actually used Vampire Tabletop or LARP as an example to explain it, but that Loki is probably not dead because if you are using Obfuscate and you die, what happens? Your mask drops and you are whatever the hell you are when you go into torpor or die. And in this case, Loki is not actually an Asgardian, and when he died, it's not like he turned into a frost giant. He's still just like Loki Visage. So, anyway, interesting theory.
And he was supposed to be dead before. I saw Tom Hiddleston talking about this. The last time he died, he was actually supposed to be dead. He was surprised when he got cast for this. So, how many times can they pull that off?
It's Loki, as many times as they want.
I mean, they're gods. That's the thing. Like I said, they could have cheated with Thor. In my mind and in comic universe, like, they're immortals. They can re-manifest.
Well, I mean, Loki's last words were, "You'll never be a god."
Yeah.
Yeah. A few things I have with that is just, first with Loki, that there have been points in the comic where he's been a woman, so it's entirely possible that they would bring him back and just recast him with an actress instead, which, totally. That's cool.
I'm for it.
Even though I love Hiddleston, but, you know, just be a nice twist. Other thing is, another theory that has been kind of brought out about this ending and how they'll resolve it is that a lot of the people who were alive at the end of this last one are actually going to be the people who have to sacrifice themselves in order to bring the others back, because so many of those people who are still alive are out of contract or very close to it. And a lot of the people who left are people who are just starting. So,
they're totally bringing back T'Challa and all them. Yeah.
It would bring stakes to the plot, because if everyone comes back to life and there's no consequences,
people have to be dead at the end of it all. Is that what you're saying? Someone has to
die, and I think I think at the very least it would be a nice circle around if it was a thing where Tony and Steve had to sacrifice themselves together to save everything, because everything has kind of torn them apart.
We don't trade lives.
Oh, but Tony has grown so much.
I know.
I have to say, why there have to be at least two bad guys that look like Voldemort? I'm done with that. And the cannon, the fodder that Thanos used looked like the dark things from Resident Evil, Fallout, like every stupid zombie.
Those are from the comic, though, aren't like, they? I've seen those in the comics.
It's so... Looks like I've seen that 4,000 times. I think they could have done something more interesting.
I think the Zerglings are from the comics. I remember seeing those in comics before, but I don't remember where.
I think they are, but they are visually not that interesting.
That's fair. I do like the... I feel like they have to do that, though, because otherwise people get tied into it too much. People get, like, too involved, and when you make them just, like, weird alien Zerglings, everybody's like, oh, okay, cool, they're just throwing... Because otherwise, like, conceptualize the fact that like a million like little sentient things like threw themselves at like that's terrifying and like unsettling in a very unhealthy way. So I feel like it's hard because they have to kind of just make them meaningless horde for everybody to kind of just.
I think they could have been a little more creative.
That's a fair point. Mm-hmm.
It's also probably much much easier to animate if you only have to have a couple of 3D models instead of like 100.
Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah, that's definitely true. A lot of moving parts. I do think that, T'Challa is so good, but Danae's character, I always mispronounce her name.
Her reaction to
him. It'll be a glorious death, a glorious end or whatever, and you're just like, yeah, God, you're so good.
Horrible irony.
And then you look so horribly, like, grief-stricken when you couldn't find him.
Well, the T'Challa, the horrible irony of his last words being, come here, this is nowhere to die.
This is not the place to die, and it's just like, gone. And I'm like, oh no!
Now, when you guys saw this the first time in the theater, did you have the same amount of just dead silence from the audience that I had?
I was at a fan event. So I went to the fan event, 6 o'clock opening night. I was in Vegas, so the place was completely packed. And it was great because, like, everything that was happening, there was applause, there was excitement. Whenever somebody came up, everybody was laughing. But then as people were ashing, what you would hear was the entire theater in unison. We were all just like,
yeah.
Oh. Or like just dead silence with a couple of them. And T'Challa was one of them where everybody was just like, what?
The girl next to me, like from Bucky to the end of it, was going, no, 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 oh no, no. And I was like, yeah, I wanted to reach over and pat her and be like, it's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay. It's, yeah.
I live in this small.
It's funny about people gasping because when, like, partway through there, when they got to the Soul Gem thing and the Red Skull showed up.
Yeah.
When he revealed himself, I gasped so loudly that I was a little embarrassed.
Everybody in our theater did because they're all Marvel nerds. I actually saw it sitting next to Curtis. So Curtis came on and went for our spoiler and Panther episode because he loves Black Panther. So it was really fun to see it with him because. He's just like super in on it. So yeah, when T'Challa died, like I think there was like a physical, oh god, like we both kind of like reached for one another, like oh god, did that just happen?
But then when the Red Skull showed up, my husband went, what the fuck? Like that was loudly. My response.
Mine was an audible. I think that was me too. I was like, what the fuck? Like I just did not see it coming at all.
I saw it here in my rural North Carolina town where. Very often, even on an opening night, you don't get a whole lot of people at our nerd movies, but the theater was mostly full. There was applause, like, spontaneously during the movie. There were a lot of reactions. Some guy down at the end of my row, when the gem was pulled out of vision, went, oh, shit, like, out loud, yeah. And then, like, you heard him go, because he realized there's a whole lot of kids here. Like, it was this really funny, awkward thing. We tried not to laugh too hard.
Oh my gosh.
But all I've never heard an audience that reactive in this town over that kind of movie.
So, all in all, it sounds like there was much enjoyment had. I think there's so many questions. A good thing we only have to wait a year. A lot of people were like, oh my god, now I gotta have to wait to the next one. I was like, yeah, you have to wait a year.
And then you
literally
got,
1 year.
You got Ant-Man and Wasp. And Captain Marvel
and Venom.
And Venom.
And Deadpool 2. And Venom.
Okay.
People didn't live through the gap in time between The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, clearly. Yeah, because that was 3 years of nothing in between.
That's true.
Should probably mention the very
Marvel
end
movies.
Spoiler.
Some of those things are not like the others.
No, it's true. I mean, outside of the MCU, sure, but. I am super excited for Venom, and I'm super excited for Deadpool 2, but then I also have Ant-Man and the Wasp, which I had to wait way too long for, and then Captain Marvel is going to be so good.
Yep, I love that little stinger at the end. It's the little beeper.
Yeah, them coming as close as they will ever get to using the word motherfucker in a Disney movie.
It had to be him, so... What you gonna do? But the beeper icon, that was exciting. God, waiting through the whole thing because they only had one, though.
That's true. All right, so if you want to share your thoughts, your feelings, your opinions, you want to tell everybody that we're giant buttheads, or at least tell us that we're giant buttheads, you can do that multiple ways. You can email us at geekgrills@gmail.com. Or you can give us a ring at 508-474-5577. You can also tweet us at Geek Grills. We will more than happy to listen to all of your opinions because they're great. Or I might not agree with them, but whatever. Send us stuff. We like things. We like responses. We like feelings.
All right. Shall I type in the comments that spoilers are done?
Yes. Spoilers are done. No more spoilers. So those of you that are listening, feel free to...
Thank you.
Viewing can now rejoin us in the world of commenting. So, Grills, that being said, what's on deck? What are you anticipating now? Linda, what's going on in your world soon? In the next finish?
If I don't have anyone, because I offer classes at Joann's for crochet, but I kind of just put out the times that I'm available, so people have to sign up for the classes. If I don't get anyone signed up for my Saturday class, I'm going to Ren Faire. So I'm going to dress up in my Renaissance garb and go flounce around and, you know, have a turkey leg or something.
That sounds super duper jealous. Fun. Amber, what about you?
So jealous. I have to wait till like autumn for Ren Faire here.
Oh, ours happened a month ago. They do ours at cold time.
Yeah, cold time here is like fucking November. what's going on? Oh, I'm going to see David Byrne on Wednesday. Super excited. My mom is coming up from Florida, so we're going to go do that together. And, I don't know. Oh, Mother's Day is coming.
Yay, mommies.
Hopefully it doesn't go poorly. My husband's very anxious. He's like, it's on the 13th. I'm like, that's a bullshit excuse. Just do it right, for God's sake. I don't really ask much. Like, make the coffee before I get up, right? And I'm good.
Make me breakfast, make me some coffee, and then I'm like, that's like, that seems like that would be Ember's perfect Mother's Day start. Like,
yes. But he did good last Mother's Day, but most Mother's Days, it's me waking up to him and the kids fighting about breakfast and burning things, and I have to come downstairs and fix it. So like, that's kind of just the story of my life. I mean, it's a Mother's Day true to the rest of how this house works. Aww. But I'm sure he'll do fine. He has been amazing. I do want to give him a shout out because I came home from Vegas to like swollen legs. And he had to spend an extra couple days like taking off work early, doing the driving so I didn't get fucking thrombosis, and actually massaging my legs and helping me out. So,
by the way, can we title the episode what Max Trollbot just typed in the chat? I think that wins.
Good, the show box
kills
working.
Dumbledore. I think that's clearly what the episode should be titled.
Yes. You can totally do that.
Spoilers: colon, Thanos kills Dumbledore. Trollbot's one of my favorite humans. Oh, yay. Gosh.
I'm gonna take
Super, what have you got going on in your geeky universe coming up?
Well, I have more LARP stuff, obviously, because I still do that.
I try.
Right now, I try to attend games. I don't frequently succeed right now. Other thing right now I'm excited about is I have two cosplay projects that I'm in the middle of for using for comic conventions now. So I have a like 90s era Green Arrow costume that I'm in the middle of building.
Nice.
And then also a Hellboy costume that I'm trying to build like an articulated right hand of doom. So that'll be fun.
I love it. That's so good. Oh, all right. So for me, I started a new, so I've been running my Friday night fate game and running the Uprising Dystopian Universe campaign. Super fun. I actually got another player on Friday, so I have enough now. So I'm looking forward to, like, it was a surprise. So I had a couple things ready, but I'm excited to actually get to run that for real on Friday. And then I've got, as usual, just lots of nerdy video game playing mayhem on deck. Plus, it's that time of year again where we all sit at our computers and try to buy BlizzCon tickets and then fail and then spend the next several months begging people to sell you one. So let's keep our fingers crossed. Yeah, so with that, Ember, let people know how they can hang out with us while we do this fun thing.
Well, folks, we are at our new time officially now. 5:30 Pacific, 8:30 Eastern time on Monday evenings on Twitch, right here at twitchtv.com/geekgrills.
Yeah, and if you'd like to support us, we love it. That's how we keep all of this continuing, because otherwise it costs money to do these fun things. We would appreciate it so much if you become a patron. I'd like to thank all of our current patrons. You guys are the best already. But you can become a patron at patreon.com/grills. And continue to give away free shit. I have video game codes. For those of you that sign up at $5 or more per month, I throw video game codes at you. So, yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah. Oh, and Mikio, your stuff's in the mail.
Yay!
Yeah,
one of our longest patrons, by the way. I would just like to know. Mm-hmm. Mikio has been a patron for a long time and was one of our first patrons.
And if you hit 10, I'll make you something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
Like a Venus
like a Willendorf beat at it. Yeah,
when I saw it, I was like, "This Linda needs." Linda, I challenge you.
Oh, you have no idea. I have just found a crochet pattern for the Infinity Gauntlet.
Oh shit!
I don't. I might buy it and I might make it.
I'm terrified.
But anyway, if you want to leave us a review on iTunes, those are free to do. Or your whatever podcast catcher you have, Stitcher, whatever. They help our ranking, and they can help other people find our podcast. You can also join us on our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and help us spread the word there.
All of those things are free.
All free.
Yeah. So where can everybody find you on the interweb, Linda?
You can also listen to me talk about women in gaming on the Glitter Dice podcast, which comes out on the first of every month. And you can find me on Twitch under the name True Noob. That's where I do my crochet streams and occasionally gaming. You can watch me fail at games. It's hilarious.
It's... I was going to say it is, but it is. September, where can everybody find you?
I can be found at 9of12, that's NINEOF12, on Twitter and Twitch.
And super. So you just started a podcast. So yeah, let us know where people can find you so we can also check out your podcast once all of it goes live.
Right now, what we have is an email address right now, which is just exhibitqpodcast@gmail.com. And we have an Instagram account up at just exhibitqpodcast. I've also just created a Twitter account to link to that, but I have not done anything with it yet.
Coming soon.
I mean, I literally created it today, so I haven't done anything with it yet because I've been doing other things. If people want to find me, like, otherwise, I have my Twitter account, which is at SOOPER1138.
I just like your sign-off, super. Thanks for asking. It always makes me laugh. Oh, yeah,
it can sing.
Oh, boy. All right. You can find me at The Gen Says on Twitter, streaming on twitch.tv/TheGenPlays as soon as I can get that shit working again, because apparently Twitch is the worst. Also, everything I do ever can be found at TheGenSays.com, because I own it.
So, it's just your sign-off forever now. I own it.
It is forever. Forever. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game. GG.
GG.
Well played.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.